Today's opening tip, Drew Eubanks dunks all over Thanasis Antetokounmpo. His brother Giannis was not pleased. Richard, are posterizations even allowed during scrimmages?
Why was his brother not pleased? All the things that his brother has done to poor individuals out there, like, look, 100% it's allowed. The minute they toss that ball up, everything is allowed.
I mean,
thought we were just warming up. What happened? I thought it was just a warm-up. No one said we would go full speed.
Hey, look at what LeBron did to J.J. Barea. We'll get to that in just a second. Welcome to The Jump. I'm George Sedano. In for our fearless leader, Rachel Nichols, who's on assignment out in Orlando. I'm joined by our front office insider, Amin El-Hassan, and NBA champion, Richard Jefferson. All right, coming up, I'll get their takeaways from the first look at LeBron and AD in their Lakers exhibition debut against Luka and the Mavs. Well, Luka-less and the Mavs. But first, we start off with some big news out of Orlando. Lou Williams has become the third Clippers player to leave the bubble for an excused absence. Williams led the team with 22 points in their first scrimmage on Wednesday. Patrick Beverley, Montrezl Harrell have also had to leave, and the Clippers are also without Ivica Zubac and Landry Shamet. Williams is a key piece, obviously, and will return. But Richard, what does this do to the Clippers' efforts to try to gel before the playoffs?
Obviously, you want everybody there. You want to be focused on chemistry, but I still have this team to win the championship. And ultimately, it's mainly because I think they have all the pieces. If you're going to leave, now is the time to leave. If you have family issues, if you have things, because when you come back, there's an extended period of time for quarantine. There's going to be more tests. So if you're going to leave, and obviously there could be things that happen later, but if players need to go address things, this is the best time, kind of in the preseason, to do it.
Yeah, I mean, the reality is, when you look at this, they've got the three scrimmages. He's already played one, so there's two scrimmages. Then you have eight play-in games or seeding games, whatever you want to call them. But the reality is, for the Clippers, they can't move up to one. I mean, it's all virtually impossible for them to move up to one. And it's highly unlikely they'll fall to three. So really, all these seeding games are preseason games for them. As long as when they start their playoff journey, they've got their roster and they're complete and they're ready to go, they'll be fine. But everything that happens between now and then is excusable. Like Richard said, it's better it happens now than it happens later, closer to the playoffs.
Well, I agree with that sentiment. I want to ask you guys this about the chemistry part of it, because there were reports towards the end of the season in March, right, that the old guard Clippers, the guys who were there last year, didn't necessarily love the way that Paul and Kawhi had been handled. And I'm not saying there was a schism of any sense, but certainly there were some rumblings there. And, you know, Doc has alluded to getting chemistry going, and it's almost like an interesting reboot for them and good timing. Obviously, none of us want this to happen, the pandemic, that is. But it will allow them that opportunity to maybe gain some of that chemistry, both on and off the court, that they didn't have. So do you lose some of that, Richard? Because, I mean, if you're just going to thrust them into the playoffs and everybody's back, can you build that chemistry during the playoffs?
Yes, 100% you can. It's not the most ideal situation, but you can't underestimate a group of individuals that all come together with one goal in mind. For the Clippers, for the Lakers, for Milwaukee, there's probably about four teams that it's championship or bust. And so when you're talking about a championship, you put a lot of things aside. And if anything, the Last Dance, the Warriors, the Cavs, a lot of these teams that we have seen win championship, there's always going to be confrontation. The confrontation is going to happen because that's what highly competitive individuals have. It's a fire, it's a fierceness to them. So I'm not worried if there's a little bit of tiffs, as they would say, going around.
Yeah, no, this isn't Jackie Moon's Flint Tropics. There's no such thing as everybody love everybody. At some point, people are going to grouse about minutes, about preferential treatment, about whatever. There's all types of issues. But the reality is, unless it's straight up, I don't want to play with this guy, then it's pretty standard across the league and across, as Richard said, champions across history. The reality is, chemistry can be built. Obviously, nicer to build it earlier rather than later. But if you're telling me this Clipper team, which hasn't had really a full lineup for an extended amount of time all season long, right, hasn't had chemistry all season long, and they're this good, yeah, I think they're fine. They're all right.
All right, fair enough. Well, we got our first look at the Clippers' rivals last night when the Lakers faced off the Mavs in Orlando. LeBron and AD both scored 12 points in 15 minutes of action. Richard, what are your takeaways from last night's scrimmage for the Lakers?
You know what's crazy is that for a guy like LeBron, this would normally be the summer before heading into his 27th season. And he still looks strong. He still looks good. He's got the spring in his step. You look at what AD and even having Dwight on that floor. I really like what Deion Waiters and J.R. Smith, those additions that obviously when you lose Avery Bradley, when you don't have Rondo, I think they're still having chemistry things that they're still trying to bring together. So the Clippers aren't the only ones that are going to be focused on chemistry over this stretch leading into the postseason.
Did Richard say his 27th season? That's a lot yes. of seasons for LeBron.
Yeah. Did you see that gray? Did you see the gray patches that he has on the side?
He looks like Rasheed Wallace's head. His beard looks like Rasheed Wallace's head. No, the reality is, George, I don't know about you. I watched this game last night, and I didn't learn anything new about LeBron and Anthony Davis. Still two of the best players in the world. How about that? But the good thing is to see guys like Deion Waiters and J.R. Smith, guys who had suited up for the Lakers before, get out there, get some runs up and down the floor, get some shots, see the ball go through the hole. Because ultimately, I think those two guys are going to go, they're going to play a huge part into Lakers' success this year. It might be a game, it might be a quarter, it might be a whole playoff series. But I think those two guys have to be on board for the Lakers to have deep playoff success. And seeing them last night play and not look completely rusty, that was a good sign.
So wait a second. Are you guys telling me you guys are back as residents of Waiters Island? Is that what's happening here? Richard, are you a resident of Waiters Island?
No. My thing, look. For Deion Waiters, it's never been a question of his talent. The kid was a top 10 pick. Everyone knows his talent. It's a matter of focus. And this is a great opportunity for him to focus in. He's going to have to play defense. He's just a legitimate role player. And in Miami, that's what he wanted. He had a bigger role. And when he was healthy and able to play, he was contributing. But for this Laker team, he's going to have to play a high level of defense in order for them to be successful. When you lose Avery Bradley, when you lose Rondo, and then all of a sudden these guys are able to get, you have Deion Waiters and J.R. Smith. You got to play defense. Look at the Clippers. Look at all of the offensive firepower that they have. The Lakers are going to need guys that can step up and play defense, and that's the role that they need Deion and J.R. to really play.
Amin, are you a resident of Waiters Island?
I've never lived on that island. I don't plan on living on that island, but I understand and recognize the depth issues the Lakers have.
Yeah.
And if so, like, you know, without Bradley, without Rondo out there, they need guards. They need guard play. And he can do something that they've needed all year long, even when those two guys were healthy, which is creating his own shot off the dribble.
One thing that stood out to me was, and look, this isn't like some sort of revelatory thing, was just Anthony Davis. But in comparison to Kristaps Porzingis, like those two guys are supposed to be peers, right, in this world. Like, they call Kristaps Porzingis the unicorn. If they call him the unicorn, Richard, what the heck is Anthony Davis? Because he looks leaps and bounds better than Kristaps Porzingis, even in a scrimmage.
Well, now understand, Kristaps Porzingis is coming off an injury. The prior season did not.
We lost Richard, I think, a little bit. Amin, you want to jump in?
Yeah, I'll jump in. Richard, stop making excuses. Who's comparing those two guys? Who's comparing Kristaps Porzingis with Anthony Davis? They're not in the same neighborhood. They're not in the same zip code. They may not even be in the same state. One dude is a legitimate MVP candidate, and another guy is like, oh, if he makes an All-Star game in the next couple of years, that'll be nice.
Yeah, and just the athleticism, just completely off the charts. All right, we have Richard back. Go ahead. You were saying about Porzingis and AD?
What? Apparently, what I was saying did not matter. I heard what Amin saying. What I am saying this, Porzingis at his prime and Anthony Davis at his prime, they are comparable, even though Anthony Davis is still the superior player. That's without a doubt. But I don't think Porzingis is anywhere near his peak right now.
Okay.
So I'm not even going to try and compare the two.
Okay, fair enough. We'll all agree to disagree on that one. Let's move on. After the game, LeBron used his media availability to advocate on behalf of Breonna Taylor, who was killed in March when plainclothes officers executed a no-knock warrant. Let's take a look at what LeBron had to say.
The same energy that we have on the floor is the same energy that we have towards having justice for Breonna Taylor and her family. And, you know, that's the energy that we bring to the game. And that's just who we are. It's fortunate that we had the George Floyd video to see it. I mean, is that what we need to see, a video of Breonna being killed, for people to realize how bad the situation is. I don't even believe they was at the right place, right? Cops wasn't even at the right place. They just knocked down the wrong door and started doing what they do at that point in time, and that's just shooting away, and that's just not okay. I mean, it's just heartbreaking, man. You guys don't understand, unless you're a person of color, you guys don't understand. I understand that you might feel for us, but you can never really truly understand what it is to be Black in America. So, but once again, you know, that's what it's about. It's not a movement. I don't like the word movement, because unfortunately in America and society, there ain't been no damn movement for us. There ain't been no movement. We land in this with justice for Breonna Taylor. We're gonna continue to harp on that. I appreciate it.
Richard, what's your reaction to what LeBron said last night?
Well, I players are definitely united. You've seen multiple players, Tobias Harris, LeBron James, you've seen so many players talk about this during their media availability. And this was, I think, a united that when they decided that they were going to play and they were going to go into the bubble, they wanted to continue pushing these messages. On all of the issues that these players are discussing. And when I say this, like you saw, LeBron was like, wait, they were at the wrong house. And that there is a lot of information out there. But ultimately, what these players are fighting for, what these players are looking for, is they're not looking just only for justice for Breonna Taylor, but they're also looking for, an adjustment. And that's what this whole thing is coming together for.
Amin?
Yeah, you know, George, first of all, I want to say I'm really proud of all the players for using their media availability to keep bringing up this point and bringing up the overall point about, the prevalence of police brutality, particularly against people of color in this country. I also want to give a lot of kudos to the media. They could easily cut out the answer, the part of the answer that's not relevant to the question that is talking about social justice, but they're leaving those answers in there. So shout out to the media outlets and the reporters who are asking these questions and allowing the social justice aspect to be remaining in there. But I want to remind everybody that this is good, but it's not enough. Names on jerseys is good, or slogans on jerseys is good, but it's not enough. Black Lives Matter on the court is good, but it's not enough. I say that because I know the power that the NBA and its owners wield. A few years ago, we had an All-Star game in Charlotte that was scheduled, and North Carolina passed a very prejudicial bill against people of the LGBTQ community. The NBA didn't respond by putting a patch on a jersey or by putting a sticker on a floor. They responded by saying, if you pass this bill, we are going to withdraw our All-Star game. And they called the bluff, and they pulled the All-Star game, and we had it in New Orleans instead. And we didn't bring it back to Charlotte until they changed that bill. That's the kind of change and power the NBA has in order to influence events. Much more powerful than jerseys or answers in a press conference or a sticker on a floor. Not demeaning or belittling those things. Those things are great. I'm glad it's happening. But I know the NBA and its owners can do more.
Well said. And look, clearly LeBron is undeterred in his position. And certainly that's laudable. I don't think there's any question about it. So we'll move on. Coming up next, we'll discuss how cautious the Pacers should be with Victor Oladipo, who was in action last night with a surgically repaired knee. Keep it locked. Here to the Jump.
It's a make or miss league.
It's a make or make.
It's a make or miss league.
Missing. More from the Lakers Mavs last night. Seth Curry went perfect from the field, shooting 8 for 8 with 6 threes. Richard, how long can he keep this kind of shooting up?
Who cares? This is the preseason. Do you know how many of those points and threes? You know, as a player, there is nothing worse than a great preseason game. You wanted this game in the postseason. You wanted this game in the regular season. Good for him. It shows that he's in shape and he's been taking care of himself, but it doesn't matter.
Shoot or shoot.
There you go. Shooters never forget how to shoot, right? That's how it works. All right, next, make assists. Check out CJ McCollum here in transition. It's not pretty, folks. He clanks the dunk, but Melo, skinny Melo, there to clean it all up. Amin, should CJ get an assist for this?
Look, all three of us are of an age group where we remember this commercial, but for the younger people, look up Grant Hill drinks Sprite. That's exactly what happened there. This CJ McCollum is a kid who took a sip of Sprite, saw Grant Hill dunk, and said, I can do that too, and then went up and just caught the front of the rim. Happens to the best of us.
So sad. Okay, we love you, CJ. It's okay. There'll be brighter days.
Moving on. Miss Noise. Spurs Bucks yesterday afternoon. Now listen to how quiet it gets during these free throws.
Oh, man. I'm so uncomfortable.
So, Richard, is the lack of crowd noise going to help or hurt free throw shooters, you think?
Look, free throws is purely about the weight of the situation. When you're down two, you're trying to do something to get yourself an edge with a minute to go. The sound in the free throws, I hate to tell fans out there, but it doesn't bother anybody. So free throws and the crowd noise, that means nothing. It's more about the weight in the situation in the last 2 or 3 minutes.
You know, Kevin O'Connor from The Ringer just tweeted from his account, the NBA plans to pipe in fans tuning in via Zoom. I think that's going to be cool.
All right, cool. Next, Make Rust. Same game, despite having hoop access during the break, apparently. Giannis' jump shot is still are these bricks concerning?
No, they're not, and this is the problem. The only reason why you would be concerned is if you watch people like our very own Rachel Nichols filming him during practice hitting step-back threes. And the reality is, a lot of NBA players can shoot in practice. It looks kind of different in practice than in the game situation. I myself have seen Shaq hit 20-footers. It doesn't mean anything until you do it in a game.
Looks like we lost Richard.
Doesn't matter. It's the preseason.
Yeah. I will say this, Amin. You mentioned Rachel Nichols filming him in practice. He shot him much better on that vice court, is all I have to say. So there's that.
Tampering.
Miss Logic. Baseball last night during the Dodgers game, Cody Bellinger had to call timeout because a balloon flew on the field. Richard, there's no fans there. Where do you think this balloon came from?
I don't know. An errant birthday party. Who has any idea? Look, what goes up must come. It makes for great television, so no one's complaining, but it was a little eerie. I'm not going to lie. I like the X-Files music in the background, though.
It's not the X-Files. It's X-Files-esque. But here's the thing. When you let a balloon go and it goes up to the sky, do y'all think it just goes up to the sun? No. The helium leaves and it has to drop down at some point somewhere. It just so happened to drop in the middle of a baseball game. But let me just say real quick, when you said Miss Logic, I thought you meant about Logic's album, because he's retiring and I won't miss him.
Oh, wow. Hate hard. Hashtag hate
mean.
Hard.
I don't know why I did that.
Good Lord. That was so unnecessary.
I don't know why I did that.
For the love. Anyway. Yeah. All right. Let's get back to Thursday's scrimmages. Gosh, I don't know if I can shake that one off. Victor Oladipo was back in the starting lineup for Indiana. Oladipo had 8 points in 19 minutes versus the Blazers. And despite looking good on the court, Oladipo still hasn't decided if he'll play when the season resumes in a week. Here he is after the game on his mental approach to a full return.
I know my body better than anyone else. I know what I'm feeling. No one else knows what I'm feeling. Even though it might look good to you or to whoever it is that's looking at me, I hold myself to a different standard. So the abilities that I'm used to doing, you've never done it before. None of y'all have. You understand? So for me, I'm trying to get back to that. You understand? I'm trying to get back to that feeling. You know, I'm trying to get back to make sure my knee, myself is 100% so that I can go and perform at the highest level that you guys are used to seeing me at.
Richard, how cautious should the Pacers be with Oladipo?
Do you know what this reminds me of? This reminds me of Kawhi Leonard and the San Antonio Spurs. There's something more going on here, ladies and gentlemen. There's something more going on. You don't have a player play before the quarantine and then come back and play in the bubble, but then say, I don't the team. There is nowhere on this planet where those things add up don't add up to something that says that there is a disagreement between him and his team. He could have said he was going to stay home for whatever reason and would have still gotten paid, but he's shown up, he's playing, but hasn't decided if he's going to play. So there's more there, and I'm not gonna speak out of pocket because I don't know what is there, but there is something here there's going to be either a change or there's going to be some movement.
I mean, do you think it's fishy?
Yeah, you know, I don't think it's fishy. I think it's actually pretty surface level. Brian Windhorst a few weeks ago put out the report that the NBA and the Players Association are trying to figure out whether Oladipo would in fact get paid if he didn't play in these games, if he sat out, because the official reason is because of an injury. But he said he's healthy before, so that's where a lot of the mix-up is for Oladipo. If it comes down to I have to play to get my money, then I'm going to do it. But if it's up to him, I believe he'd sit out if he knew he were going to get paid in the meanwhile. And you say, why is that, Amin? Well, next year he's going to be a free agent. This is not only going to be his last big payday, but it's probably going to be his biggest big payday of his career. And so I have no problem with him feeling trepidatious about putting himself out there after a four-month layoff and maybe risking injury and ruining that big payday that he has coming to him a year from now. It's not fishy. It's kind of obvious. But obviously he can't come out and say that because the backlash towards that kind of statement would be worse than what he's going through right now.
Well, let me ask you this, Amin, in regards to that, because the original question was, should the Pacers be cautious in this particular situation? Should they be cautious because of that? Because he could potentially leave in 2021.
So piggybacking off of what Richard said, you got to learn from the ballad of Kawhi Leonard in San Antonio. As a team, you can't pressure guys into playing if they don't feel 100%, because all that's going to do is ruin the trust factor. For the record, the Pacers have already told the league they're fine with paying a salary. They're not trying to save money. This isn't a Pacers trying to be cheap thing. This is all about Victor and whether he's comfortable enough to play, and whether the league will allow him to be paid if he does not play.
Richard, you got anything?
I got nothing else to add to that. I just think that there's a lot more going on here. I think the Pacers are trying to be professionals. I think Victor Oladipo is trying to be a professional and not air his grievances. But ultimately, when he's telling the reporters, no one else knows. Maybe before his original injury, maybe he was saying that it didn't feel right, something wasn't right, and they were kind of saying, you're fine, go play. And now he's a little bit more cautious. But there is more to this story. And look, kudos to them for kind of trying to keep this together. But this ain't adding up. Something ain't adding up. And typically when they don't add up, there's going to be a change.
Okay. All right. We'll stay tuned, I guess, to the Indiana Pacers and Victor Oladipo.
Mm-hmm. All right. Stay tuned.
Coming up, is Yusuf Nurkic the biggest X factor in the Western Conference? He played for the first time in over a year and looked pretty darn good, too. We'll discuss that after the break. But first, we're only 6 days away from the restart of the NBA season, so that means it's time for number 6 on our countdown of the best plays of the season thus far.
If that was intended for Adams or Dort. Either way, rare turnover. Up the floor, Sexton off that 40-foot bounce pass from Osman.
And how about this assist by Jetty Osman right through the wickets?
And it's funny. The first thing you do is you react to the ball. I mean, even though you don't, it's coming through your legs, you react to getting out of the way of the ball.
We're beyond elated to be back. We are ready to tip it off, guys, for the first time in 135 days. Steph Curry drops another three ball. Luka, already a star, as he comes down and hammers one. Curry again. 6 for 6 from three. Boban. And Boban's teammates love it.
Boban! I did too.
Dallas will win 108 to 106.
Oh, we need more Boban in our lives. Welcome back to The Jump. Amin and Richard still with me from their respective homes. You just saw some highlights of the Mavs against the Lakers. So it is time to play everyone's favorite game, something, nothing, or everything.
There we go.
All right. Amin, is the Mavs beating the Lakers 108 to 104 in their first scrimmage last night something, nothing, or everything?
George, this is everything. Everyone knows the first preseason game of a season dictates who will be NBA champion. And this one ain't even a preseason game. It's a scrimmage taking it to a higher level of importance. Seth Curry will shoot 100% from the field this year. Boban is the MVP. Luka's most improved. They're going to the finals. Book it.
That is the level of sarcasm there. I so truly respect. I truly, like, sarcasm is my love language. And I'm going to be really, really honest. That is a fact. That is the most important game that I think we have seen probably in this decade, that game, Lakers versus Mavericks. Honestly, I think we should just cancel everything, crown the Mavericks the champions, and then keep it pushing.
All right, for the people out there who are not as quick on the uptake, I will speak for them and say nothing. It means nothing. So that way no one can yell on Twitter at all of us and be like, what are you guys talking about? So I will fall on that sword for everyone. All right, next up, the Blazers center, Jusuf Nurkić, played in an organized game for the first time since March 25th of 2019. He scored 14 points and grabbed 8 rebounds for Portland last night against the Pacers. Is this something, nothing, or everything for the Blazers? Richard, I'll start with you.
I think this is something. This is something. I'm not going to say this is everything. This is something mainly because you look at him and how important he is to the perimeter game of CJ McCollum, how important he is to the perimeter game of Dame, because you don't want to have them get double teamed and, you know, they were struggling to score some points. Obviously, so Dame had been on fire prior to this quarantine, but having that inside presence, that defensive presence, that rebounding, that guy you can throw it down when the game slows down, that is huge. It's only going to open things up for that perimeter force and that perimeter backcourt.
You know what, George? I'm turning my sarcasm meter off and I'm going straight here. It is everything.
Oh.
And I mean it, because I think this is the reason why I picked the Blazers to be the team that the Lakers will eventually meet in the playoffs. Out of all the other kind of teams hoping to play in that play-in game. If you look at what Nurkić and the Blazers were like before he got hurt, you're talking about a top 10 defense. This guy's an incredible rebounder. He's a solid defender both individually and in a team concept. And he really covered up for a lot of kind of deficiencies you talk about in that backcourt. But then offensively, they ran the offense to him in the high post. He makes life so much easier for CJ and Dame, so they don't have to work as hard to get their buckets. He's so important. But perhaps the biggest reason, him being healthy, Zach Collins being healthy, it means you don't have to rely on Hassan Whiteside, who is historically unreliable.
Fair. I agree with all the points.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, he's not wrong about that. I will agree with all your points, except I won't say it's everything, because everything to me means they're like a real contender. And while I do think that they will come out of that play-in situation, I'm just going to go with something. And it is only one game, right? I know he hasn't been there in a long time, so I'd like to see him do it again to take a page out of the Stu Gatz playbook from the Dan Le Batard show. But I do think it's a great first step for them, so I will just say something at this point. All right, next, former number one overall pick DeAndre Ayton drained a three-pointer in the third quarter of the Suns' exhibition game against the Jazz. A few weeks back, Ayton told reporters, "Let me tell you about that three ball, man. I'm shooting it like it's a midi." The Suns' Twitter account posted an old tweet from Andrew Lezis that said, "Screenshot this. If DeAndre Ayton makes a three in Orlando, I'll get a dominatin' face tat, no cap." After Ayton's three, Andrew tweeted, "Looks like I'm getting a dominatin' face tat." Richard, is this something, nothing, or everything?
This is all three. It's something because what is going on? It's nothing because what are you thinking? And it's everything because I want to see if he's going to get this tattoo. I don't know this individual. I haven't seen a picture of him. Hopefully this isn't his first tattoo. But man, to bet a three-pointer on your to bet a tattoo on your face on a three-pointer, that takes a lot. Never under any circumstance.
Yo, hold on. Let me just say, it's something in terms of DeAndre Ayton expanding his range. He always had a nice touch, even back in Arizona, for mid-range. It's only a matter of time for him to expand it out beyond the three-point line. So it's something there. It's a nice sign of improvement. But if I'm this Andrew kid from Twitter, I'm saying it's nothing. Because this is not even a game. It's a scrimmage. This is like when Ben Simmons hit that three in preseason against a team from 7th Division Taiwan, or wherever they came from. It was a really bad team from overseas that came and played. He hit a three. That doesn't count. I know he also hit a three against the Knicks in preseason. That one doesn't count either. We're talking about, it only counts. We're talking about a tattoo on my face? That game better count. So Andrew, talk to me. I'll get you a lawyer. I'll be your lawyer. This is nothing. Yeah, trust me.
Yeah. And I hope he follows through with whatever. I don't know if the preseason or regular season counts, but I've seen these things are real. These tattoo bets. We had an opportunity. I saw this online. A guy actually got like a copy of my RJ tattoo, one of the best tattoos in all of sports, maybe in all of the world. A guy got a copy of that tattoo. He said if the Cavs win a game in the NBA Finals, when we lost the Kevin Durant Warriors, that he was going to get a tattoo. And he did. He did get this tattoo. I saw it online and I was flabbergasted. I couldn't believe an individual would actually do this. So if people are doing tattoo bets, I'm not one of them, even though this tattoo was a bet. But, you know, hey, to each their own.
Yeah, listen, do it in a real game, Ayton. That's what I would be saying if I were Andrew. Yeah. I'm with Amin on this because your face, that's a different level right there. All right, coming up next, just how high is the Nuggets ceiling in Orlando? We'll discuss that next. But first, here's what The Jump recommends for today. Our buddy Zach Lowe shares his NBA awards ballot with all of us over on ESPN.com and the ESPN app. Zach has Giannis as MVP, Ja as Rookie of the Year, and he's got Brandon Ingram as his most improved player. There's plenty more there, so take a look and find out why. The WNBA season tips off from their bubble at the IMG Academy in Bradenton, Florida tomorrow. We'll have Sabrina Ionescu's debut for the Liberty against the Storm at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on ESPN. Then at 3 Eastern, noon Pacific on ABC, it's the Sparks and Mercury. And now, let's get caught up on the Nuggets' journey to the bubble in Orlando with another installment of Previously on the Denver Nuggets.
They are the single hardest team to classify in the entire league.
I really believe in this team. I think we can do something big. That's why I want just to start the season the right.
After the Nuggets lost to New Orleans last night with, let's just say it, a questionable defensive effort, look at Jokic. Hands up, he's clearly frustrated.
I don't think he came into camp in great shape. I still don't think he's in great shape.
This is what everybody says when they're worried about the Nuggets as a contender. Do they have somebody that they absolutely have to get it, can deliver?
Porter. He puts it away.
Goodness.
He's like a cross between Kevin Durant and Tracy McGrady.
I think he was that third piece that the Denver Nuggets needed.
Jokic grabbing the rebound, turns, fires. This is a touchdown.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. Right here.
That's just what that is.
And it's all fun and games until John Elway sees a seven-footer in Denver. Throw a ball like that.
Jokic crushing the monster truck tire workout.
I think I'm not supposed to tell him my pounds and my weight. It's a team policy. I like that. You like that.
What he is showing everyone is a commitment to his craft.
Do you consider the Nuggets legit title contenders?
No.
I'm still slowing my roll a little bit on the Nuggets.
What's the goal for this team this year?
For me, beat the first round, get a little break, watch some teams, you know how it goes, miss a big shot. I don't know why I'm trying to explain it.
Trying to explain it to him. Not exactly what I mean, man.
The Nuggets enter the bubble at 43-22, third in the West, and a game and a half behind the Clippers for second. We saw point guard Jokic already this week. Richard, what's the ceiling for Denver this season?
Ooh, I think their ceiling. I think the best that they can do, what they should consider a successful season, like I would say a conference final. I could see them upsetting, you know, the Lakers or the Clippers, one of those two teams. It's just hard to sustain that over multiple series because the Lakers don't have to, the Lakers or the Clippers wouldn't have to play each other till the conference finals. But for a team like the Denver Nuggets or the Utah Jazz, they could potentially have to play both of those teams to get to an NBA final. So I think it's unrealistic for the Denver Nuggets to get there this year. I think if they continue to Michael Porter Jr., Bol Bol, if they continue with this young nucleus and this young core, I think that they potentially could be in the finals in the next two, maybe three seasons.
Yeah, if we're talking about the ceiling, to quote a great player by the name of Michael Jeffrey Jordan, the ceiling is the roof. The ceiling is a championship. This is a team that could win a championship. Will they? Probably not. But if you ask me what the ceiling is, I think that's the ceiling. I think the questions I have are, Jokic is a tremendous talent. Who's the other great player on this team? There are a lot of good players. I don't see any great players, not yet at least. Maybe Michael Porter Jr. one day, maybe Bol Bol one day. But right now, it's a lot of good players. And particularly when you consider that Jokic in and of himself He has the potential to be great, but he's not really an aggressive scorer. He's more of a facilitator. He's more of an all-round kind of greatness. You need someone who is consistently a killer from the outside. They don't have that right now. But again, crazier things have happened, and in this environment where there is no home court advantage and where a single positive test can upend someone's season, I could see the Nuggets being a champion this year.
No way. Under no circumstance could they beat the Lakers, no Clippers, and Bucks.
Circumstance. Stop. Hold on.
No circumstance. Okay. If all of a sudden Giannis decided to go back to Greece, if LeBron James decided to retire mid-bubble, there is no way that the Denver Nuggets could win a championship this season. They would have to potentially beat the Lakers, Clippers, and Bucks. Come on, dog. Come on. Stop that nonsense.
Yeah, they may not have to beat all three of those teams.
I understand you haven't shaved and you haven't done your hair in months. But, like, let's be really honest. Like, don't just all of a sudden start letting that affect your brain. That there's
don't
zero
be mad
chance that
because
that
can
happen.
I can grow hair and I can grow a beard.
Why would anybody be mad at the look that you are rocking right now? The look that you are rocking, there is no one upset anywhere, other than possibly your family, that you're representing yourself in that manner.
As Charlemagne the God would call, this is called black privilege right here.
Well, listen, I think that their ceiling is the second round. Like, I'm with Richard. Sure. I just don't even think they can get past the Clippers.
Wow.
Like, I don't think they're – well, here's the thing. You mentioned it, Amin. Jokic is their centerpiece, and he's a great player. There's no question he's a top 10 player. But he's not that go-to scorer. Occasionally he's been that in the post. I've seen some moments like that, but I don't think you can count on him in that regard. I think Jamal Murray's a good player. I don't know if he's that player. He's been relied upon as kind of their perimeter threat finisher type player. But I think for this team to take that step that Richard was alluding to earlier, and he mentioned the guy's name that I'm going to talk about, which is Michael Porter Jr. I think Michael Porter Jr. needs to be that alpha scorer type, right? Where he can do it from the inside, from the outside. I think he has that kind of upside, but I think we're a couple of years away from that particular upside.
Thank you. It's almost like somebody said that 5 minutes ago.
What are you doing? Hey,
somebody had to bring back some sanity to the show.
I'm taking a break, man.
Anyway, all right, coming up, we jump around following the news of Mike Tyson's return to the ring and ask the panel, what is their dream one-on-one matchup? Stick around here on The Jump. Instead, I'm just a story.
The countdown to the NBA season return is going primetime.
Time to get back on now.
Join me, Maria Taylor, with Jalen Rose, Jay Williams, Paul Pierce, and many more.
Let's work!
With all the teams, the players, and the stories that have reshaped the basketball world. The NBA Countdown Restart Special, Saturday, 8 Eastern, on ABC.
It's crunch time here on The Jump. The NBA will be getting fans involved in games after all, if only virtually. More than 300 fans each game will be able to go online and be broadcast on the video boards surrounding the courts. The league said this yesterday. So, Richard, is this a significant enhancement?
I think it is. I like enhancements. I think it's impressive. But, you know, I think only time will tell how all of this stuff plays out.
Richard sounds like he's in his bathroom right now. I do like it. I think it's innovative. I really like what the Miami Heat did the other day with the virtual fans in there, even though it wasn't live. But you know, I'm interested to see how it works.
Oh, good Lord. Yes, I would agree, Amin. Let's move on. In hopes the Bulls will listen to trade offers for Zach LaVine, the Nets are among the teams that have been monitoring the situation in Chicago and done background work on him, according to SNY's Ian Bagley. So, Amin, is LaVine a good fit for the Nets?
No, and he's not a good fit for the Knicks either, by the way. Let me just say real quick, the Knicks, if they do this, it's business as usual at Madison Square Garden. But for the Nets, why? You already have Dinwiddie and Caris LeVert, who are great offensive talents at the guard position, who are on good deals. Why would you go out and get this dude, who's going to be a free agent soon after that? It doesn't make sense.
I agree. I actually think it's a better fit for the Knicks. I think he brings a level of excitement. I think he's a type of player that people will want to play with. So I think he's a much better fit for the Knicks than I think he is for the Nets.
I actually think the Nets should try to target Bradley Beal if he becomes available to me. That's the perfect type of player you would want with Kevin Durant and Kyrie. All right, we're running out of time, so let's jump around to the sport of boxing. Mike Tyson is set to face Roy Jones Jr. on September 12th in an exhibition bout. Tyson is 54 years old. Roy Jones Jr. is 51. Now, that got our producers thinking, which two retired NBA players would you most want to see play one-on-one right now? Richard, you go first.
That was hard for me. This was a tough pick, but I'm going to go with AI and D-Wade. I don't think I got to see enough battles between the two of them. I thought about White Chocolate and Jason Williams, but AI was too much of a scorer to be going against. But I think D-Wade and AI, I think they would put on a little bit of an exciting one-on-one match.
Oh, Richard, you're only 50% right. Yes, I would love to see Dwayne Wade out there, but the guy I want to see him go against is our very own Paul Pierce. That's right, Paul Pierce, the one who said that if he had played with Shaq and LeBron, he would have had three rings too.
Drag
him out.
You haven't said anything of quality this entire hour until the final minute. Until the final minute. Hey. I agree with you. D-Wade versus Paul Pierce. All the bragging rights, all the nonsense, I'm with you. I'm with you. Thank you for finally contributing something to this show. Thank you.
Look, I make them when,
only
I
took,
make
only,
them when
only
it counts.
Only took us an hour. Only took us
I
an hour.
I make them when it counts, and I don't do it from my bathroom, so I think that counts double at least, you know, no echo.
I appreciate it.
All right.
I appreciate it. It's amazing.
I'm going to give the big men some love. I would want to see KG versus Tim Duncan. KG trying to get under Tim Duncan's skin. Tim Duncan is unflappable. Obviously, the big fundamental against KG. I'm going to give the big men some love in that situation. So, there you have it. All right. We are all out of time for this week. The Jump returns to ESPN on Monday with, get this, listen to this lineup. Magic Johnson, Scottie Pippen, and Tracy McGrady. And maybe you two will go at it. I mean, you got 20 more seconds if you want to lay in one more jab, you two.
No, I have nothing to say. I just want to apologize to all of the fans on behalf of ESPN for the way that Amin looks.